Okay, we're up to Siman Shinayin. We are in the middle of Seif Beis. Let's start from I'll just start from the second line, Lefi, the middle of the second line on page 470. Again, that's on page 470. It's the second line from the top of the Mechaber. It's Siman Shinayin, Seif Beis. So we learned over here that if we have two conditions are there is one owner. The question is: must everyone contribute towards the Eruv Chatzera? So if we have a situation where one person owns all of the property. We have a courtyard. Let's assume there are five houses in the courtyard. All five are owned by one individual, and four of them are rented to four people. So one person lives in the courtyard, he owns everything, and he has rented the other four homes to separate people. Do those four people have to contribute towards the Eruv Chatzeros, or do we consider them to be guests? Do we consider, since one person owns everything, it's called Tfisas Yad, it's like one home, one settlement, and everyone here is a guest. So we learned in the Mechaber and the Mishnah Berurah that no, not necessarily. If you rent property, even though you don't own the property, that's not enough to be considered Tfisas Yad. You still must contribute towards the Eruv Chatzeros, and you make a bracha on the Eruv Chatzeros. The only time you do not need to contribute is if we have a second condition. In addition to not owning the property, renting the property, the owner has in your home his own metaltalin, his own property. He has an object, he has utensils, whether they are muksa or they're very heavy. In your apartment, in your house, he is storing his property. So together we have these two conditions. You do not own the property, you only rent the property. And in your property, he retains rights to keep, to store his valuables. And the valuables are currently there. Then we consider everyone to be an extension of the one balabayas, and you do not need to contribute. They do not need to contribute towards the Eruv Chatzeros, and that's what it says here in the second line. Lufi shenasu kulam ka'orchem etzel. They are like guests, being that the two conditions have been fulfilled. It's as if they are guests. Or lufich. Therefore, gam hein mutam lechotzim mibivotem lechatzer. And therefore, once they're considered to be guests, they are permitted to carry from their homes to the courtyard. Afal pi shloy nasnu eruv, even though they did not contribute towards the eruv. The im ein habatim shalom. Let's say the batim do not. Now we're going to discuss the case where we're missing the second, the first condition. We have the second condition. There is one person who has rights to store his property in the homes of the other four individuals, but he does not own those homes. So we're missing the first condition. The im ein habatim shalom. Lo kinuyos v'lo sukhuros, they're not his property, and they're not rented. They're not rented to these people. Afal pi sheyesh loy bohem dvarim shasu l'taltalam. Even though we have the second condition, he is storing in their property items, objects. Oishim zem al zeh. Then one individual, then there's a problem. They're not allowed to carry into the courtyard unless they contribute towards the Eruv Chatzeros. Hagah, the Yeshayim, some say, to call Zekisha'in Doyorin Bechotzer Elohim. Now, this Kantan, when you have both conditions, work. This is very important in Haramah. Let's go back to the original case where we have both conditions. The one person owns all of the property, and in addition, he has rights to store his items in their homes. There's another condition. That's only where Kishain Doyorin Bechotzer Elohim, there's no one else that's independent in the courtyard. Aval Kishayesh Doyorim Acherim, but when there are other people that live in this courtyard, let's say there's a person number six, Umaylichim Eruvam Etzlam, and the Eruv is stored in home number six, who is a completely independent person, Tzrichim Kol Echol, or if everyone has to join in the Eruv. The Mishnah Berurah explains in much more detail, so maybe we should read the Mishnah Berurah to save time inside. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah Yud Beis. V'im ein habatim shalo rotzulayma. What does this word, these words, the Ramah, mean that we just explained? Is that the Mishnah Berurah? Let's go read the Mishnah with Yudbeis and read Yudbeis in the Gimel. Rats lo amad dino del el demar shabbatim shloi beetsem oishahu socher oishahu sholatzlo vuhu hiskino oishin leacher. The bezarmina do nase koreach esav aval im ein abay shaych lo klal. Okay, that's the halach of the Ramah. If you're missing condition number one, if the property is not owned by one person, it doesn't make a difference if he is storing his items in their homes. Elok sheshneim heim shchinim b'chotzev cholechad yesh abay sot ne'atzmo v'yechad yesh loy reshus l'beisach haver lo'anich sham chafotzav v'nich sham loy nase hu kibal abay salov shnedo koreachot. So that we explain in detail, we learn the mechabef. That's simple. Yud Gimel. Now's the part, the next part of the Ramah, which I want to bring out this point. It's a very important point. Yud Gimel. It's a lamsha point. The Kol Zeh, reading from Yusuf Kot and Yud Gimel, Rotsu Loimar, a Mosai Moyel Tfisasiat, Sheyesh Lobalabais. When do both conditions work? We're dealing with a situation that appears to be ideal. Everything is perfect. Both conditions. There are five homes. One person owns everything, all the property, all the real estate. Everyone is renting. In addition, we have condition number two has been fulfilled. The owner reserved the right to store metaltalin that are muksa in the homes of each one of the other four residents. Tfisas yad, wonderful. But that's only where there's no one else in the courtyard but these five families. Bisman she'ein imohem doyorin acherim bechotzer elohu ve'osan huanashim shehishil v'shilent the homes or v'shehisker lohen. Oh, afilu yesh odiyo mechotzer. Now the Mishmus or is another example where there are more people in the courtyard, but elo. Now let's just skip the brackets because I want to bring out the main point. Just jump down two lines, the beginning of the line. Aval kisheyesh o doyorin acherim b'chotzer. Let's say in this courtyard there are six people, and the sixth person is completely independent, and therefore the Baal Habayis must make an eruv. The one who owns the five houses must make an Eruve Chatzeros with number six, because number six is not a dependent. And where is the Eruv going to be stored? In the home of number six. Umanichim ho Eruv shaloi bebeis balabayis zem, ela bebote sh'arei doyarin, is put in the other person, the independent person, dibozeh, Haloi habalabayis balav hoki tzoch litim chiluk eruv, then loy mahani bozet fisas to lifter hasoichim melitim chiluk eruv. Then the other four people will not be exempt from the eruv, being that they're guests of number one. Dimigu deshore hadoyarim osri habalabayis, since there is number six, and number six requires the balabayis to make an eruv echatzeros. Honoch shedayarim bebeiso nami osriel love at sheyidlu chelik bei. Okay, so let's review outside. In the Mishnah Mechaber, the Mishmur is just elaborating what the Mechaber, the Ramos said, the same exact thing. When we have over here of an apartment, we have a courtyard, there are six homes. Five of them are owned by one person. One person is completely independent. The five people, the five, they're all joined together with tfisas yad. He owns their homes and he's storing his items. So there's tfisiyat. But that's not going to help for number six, because number six is 100% independent. So the balabayis must make an eruvich hatzeros with number six. Where are they going to store the eruvich hatzeros? The big question. If they store the eruvich hatzeros in the home of the bal habayis, number one, who has associated, who has joined with him through Tfisas Yad, the other four apartments, then those four apartments do not need to contribute towards the Eruv Echatzeros. But if the Eruv Echatzeros that number one makes with number six is going to be stored in the home of number six, then one, then two, three, four, and five must also contribute towards the Eruv Echatzeros. Once we're going to take away the eruv from the home of number one and store it in the home of number six, they lose their cohesiveness, because already he's at a distance. He has to join with someone else, and the Erev is not being stored. Once the Baal Habayis is out of the woods, he's already considered to be distant, because he must join with number six. The other four people, which are Tofel to the Baal Habayis, also must independently contribute bread to number six to join in that one Eruv Echatzeres. But again, but if the Eruv is stored in the home of the Baal Habayis, number six brings his bread to the home of the Baal Habayis, number one, and number one obviously has associated with himself 2, 3, 4, and 5 because of Tzisas Yad, then 2, 3, 4, 5 do not need to join to contribute towards the Eruv Echatzeres. So this is a very powerful halacha. Now we go back to the Ramah, and the Ramah discusses a new halacha. Okay, it's right in the middle of the page. It's three of the last. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down from the top. Echad, new halacha. Shesochar bayis min ha'evi kachav. A person rents a home from a goy, a non-Jew. And you're renting it with rights to sublease. And then what do you do? V'hiskir echad min ha'bira l'chavero. And the person who has rented the home from the non-Jew, he in turn rents one of the rooms. He subleases part of the bayis. So the question is, now I'm renting this home from a non-Jew. Let's paint the entire scenario. We have a courtyard. In the courtyard there are five houses. Everyone is independent. One house is owned by a goy. The goy does not live here. So there's no problem. We'll get to all the laws of a goy. It's very complicated. We'll get to that later on. You have to schira smaka. That'll be number of someone. When you have an apartment building and you want to make a Eruv Chatzeros, and some people who live in the apartment building are non-Jews, how do you deal with the non-Jews? Do they ruin the Eruv? Not so. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But right now, let's make the case very simple. We have a court. In the courtyard, there are five homes. Four of them are owned by Jews. They are 100% independent, and they're joining together to make a Eruv Chatzeros. Then there is one home that's owned by a goy. The goy doesn't live here. He lives far away. And the goy has rented this home to Jew number five. And Jew number five, in turn, has rented one of the rooms to Levi. So the question is, there's no question the person who rented the home from the goy, Reuven, let's say Reuven rented the home from the goy, he has to contribute towards the Erev. Does Levi also need to contribute towards the Erev? Do we say Levi is considered to be Tfisas, it's considered to be Tfisas Yod? And we'll go in a similar case, not to complicate matters from the previous case, where the Erev is stored in the home of Reuven, because the Erev was stored in the home of one of the other five people, then of course Levi, no matter what, would have to contribute towards the Erev. But let's make the case very simple, where the Erev is stored in the home of Reuven, and Reuven in turn has rented one of the rooms to Levi. Does Levi need, and going in the case where Reuven is storing his items in the home of Levi, so you have both conditions, does Levi need to contribute towards Erev? So you would say simply not. So here comes the Ramah. The Ramah tells us to be very, very careful. When Reuven goes to the goy and says to the goy, I want to rent your home, and he does not make any mention whatsoever that there will one day be a Levi, then automatically, when he ultimately, at a point later on in time, when he does sublease part of that home to Levi, Levi will be called, there will be a din of Tfisas Yad. But when Reuven, at the beginning, when he rents this home from the goy, he tells the goy, I'm renting this home, and you should be aware, it's not just for me, I'm going to be in charge, but I'm also going to sublease it to Levi. Since, and in both scenarios, whether he tells him, does not tell him, it's legal. This is not dealing with you doing anything illegal. It's understood, if you rent an apartment, you're allowed, that's the situation, it's accepted in this society, and if you rent an apartment from the guy, you're permitted to sublease one of the rooms to someone else under your responsibility, your responsibility for damages and so on and so forth. But if the chiddush is, if when Reuven leases the apartment from the guy, he tells him at that moment in time, I am going to be renting most of the house, and this one room will be subleased to Levi, then from the very beginning we consider Reuven and Levi to be two separate distinct entities. And therefore, Levi will never have the status of Tfisas Yad with regard relative to Reuven, and Levi will have to, in every situation, contribute independently towards the Reuven Chatzeres. That's the Chiddush of the Ramah. We'll see inside and side one more time. Echad shesocha b'asen v'luchavim v'yisker echad minabiu l'chaveru, and he sublets one of the rooms to his friend. So here are the conditions. Im itchila, if when Reuven rented the apartment from the guy, lo sechora adai to the hachi, he never told the guy, I thought originally I'm going to rent the entire apartment for myself. I never made mention I'm going to sublet one of the rooms to Levi. Havale ki'ilu kol habira shelo, we consider the entire apartment to belong to Reuven. And now the hiskir echad min habatim lachadero, and later when he subleases one of the rooms to Levi, there will be a din of tfisas yad. Aval, but if from the very beginning, im sechora mitchila daitidach, if originally when he rented the home to, when he rented the home from the guy, he told the guy, I am going to rent, use it mostly for myself, but there's one room that's going to be subleased to Levi. Havalei shnei batim, veloi mahane, and then there's not going to be tfis asyad, it's not going to help. Af al pi sheyesh lecha mehem tfis asyad, even though we have both conditions, Reuven is really the main renter, so it's considered his property, and he has rights. He's going to tell Levi, I want to be permitted to store some metalklin in the corner of your apartment. It doesn't matter, since this was told to the guy at the very beginning, it's considered to be two different rishuyos, and each one must contribute independently. Okay, Gimel. Now we discuss some interesting halachos. We'll try to go through, these are very technical. I'll try to go this little quickly. Chomesh chavuros sheshavsu b'traklin. Okay, like a bunk. You have like in camp, you have a, well, this is not really a good example because there is no mechitzos. We're dealing with group living. Okay, you have a group of people, they're all living in one room, like in a hospital. So you have one room and there's a curtain separates one person from another person. So the question is, do these two different individuals, let's think you have a situation, okay, you have people living together, one big room, and there are curtains separating different individual cubicle, different compartments. And Shabbos, do they need to contribute towards an Eruvei Chatzeros?
None of the items in the room belong to you.
No, right. So I'm not dealing with a real hostile. I just mean like picture a situation where each one actually owns their compartment, a certain type of group living. They live in this shelter, and everyone has their little section. But they're all part of one large room. They all walk into the same hallway, or they all walk through each other. So now there are different cases. Let's discuss the first. The first case is the only way to get out is to the front door. And that's very strange. That means the person in the back, there are five people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How does he get out outside? He walks through the private area of 2, 3, 4, 5. The door out is by number 5. 5 compartments. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One is all the way in the back. He is private. No one can come into him. But in order for him to get out, he has to walk through number 2, walk through number 3, walk through numbers. He's number 1, he has to walk through number 2, 3, 4, 5, and then by 5, there is the door out into the street. Person number 2 has to walk through 3, 4, 5. Number 3 has to walk through 4 and 5. 5 just walks out into the street. The question is, do all of these people, do they have to... That's one structure. And then, in addition to this one structure, there are other structures, there are other private homes in this courtyard, and they're all joining together to make an Eruvei Chatzeros. The question is, how many loaves of bread must be contributed from this shelter towards the Eruvei Chatzeros? 1 represents all 5 of them, or must each individual send off his own private loaf of bread, contribute his own loaf of bread? That's the question. I'm going in the case, assuming everyone owns, let's make believe everyone actually, you own it. I own this section, and the second person owns that section. Number 5 owns his section. He obviously paid very little because he has absolutely no privacy. Everyone is parading back and forth through his little area to get outside. It's too complicated to make doors, so everyone parades through number 5. So he paid the least. Number 1, that's prime real estate, because number 1 is private. No one's coming into him. He has privacy. So the question is, how many do we need? So along comes the halacha, and it's 5 groups. Sheshavsu.
What if one of the five is a guy and lives there?
So you need Tzchiras Makom. That's talk about a similar case. Let's see how you have a courtyard, you have five house, one is a guy. So you have to what's called you have to rent you have to give him money. He doesn't contribute bread. Instead we give him money and he gives up his rights. He becomes our guest. Because the whole theme of an area, the idea of an area is to join together, achdus. We don't want achdus with a non-Jew, because it's a bad influence. He's a bad influence. So we don't want him part of our inner circle. But he's a problem. He's in the way because it's a courtyard that is shared by multiple people. And he's not part of us. He's not part of our family. So what we do is you'll become our guest. How will you become our guest? We will own your house and you'll just live there. You'll live there. You don't have to pay rent. We'll let you pay the taxes. It's called Schiras Makom. This is very problematic because there are a lot of goyim in history. There are a lot of stories that he tells this to a guy. What does that mean? I'm taking money and you own my house. I want a lawyer, especially in today's day and age. You know, even when it comes to mechiras chametz, a lot of goyim, they get, you know, today's day and age, people get very nervous over. So an intelligent non-Jew, you start explaining to him, we're going to sell you the chametz, and the chametz can be worth tens of thousands of dollars. People have liquor and who knows what. And then some will sell you stocks in companies that make chametz and Kellogg's and General Mills and so on and so forth. What's going on here? They become very suspicious. It's very, very common that intelligent non-Jews, and then when you explain to them after the first year, they don't ask any questions. They walk away with some money. They come out ahead. Whatever they get, different rabbanim give them whatever, $50, $100, $200, whatever they get. But it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing. And you're asking very good. And we'll come to that later on. But here we go. After just go through these very technical halachas of what is called a how many people need to contribute towards it. These are Blat Gemara and Masechta Erevin. These simanim. Each one is a whole daf. But here's our case. We have five people. How many chamish chavuros? Five groups. Sheshavsu b'trak nechen in one courtyard and one in one structure. V'chilku b'mechitzos. And each one of these groups, each family. I told you one person. Here it's a family. Each family has been separated with a mechitza, with a partition. Im oivrim kulam ze al ze. Each one passes through the other. She'ein pesach pasuch l'chotzer el hachitza. The only way out is number five. He has the door to the street. Everyone else has to pass through number five. V'chulam oivrim aderech alav. So what's the law? The law is ein tzrichim litein be'erev el shnayim hapnimim. So the rule is the only ones that have to contribute towards the erev are the two inner ones. V'chol v'acherim, everyone else, chashuvim kibei shar lohem. And they don't have to give anything, as we learned, a beishar. If you have an area that's not private, you don't have to contribute towards the erev at all. So in other words, now in a situation we have five people, who has to give number one and number two? Three, four, five do not need to contribute at all. Why not? Three, four, five are considered to be an extension of number one and number two. Just like if a person owns a house, and you have in front of your house, you have a little shed for the guard. A little shed for the guard. The guard sits there. His guard sits there. The guard, even though he lives there 24/7, he has a little television, and he has a little refrigerator and a little air conditioner, and he's there the whole summer long. Amazing. He doesn't have to contribute towards the Erev. But I live here. I live here the whole Shabbos. I live the whole week. You don't have to contribute because you're just an extension of the family, of the people that you are protecting, that you are guarding. And especially because going to the street where they walk right through the Beishar, they walk right through that area, he doesn't need to contribute. So the same thing is in this case as well. Number three, four, five are considered to be the Beishar of number one and two. And when number one, number two, they give their food to the Erev, that already includes three, four, five. So what are you thinking? What about number two? Right? That's the obvious kasha. Number two is also should be the beishar because number one parades right through number two. But the answer is, in order for an area to be called a halachic beishar, at least two families must parade through that area. Since the only one that's parading through number two is number one, okay, it's not private. It's a breach of privacy because number one is walking through number two. But one person is not significant enough to give number two the status of a Beis Shah. Three already is halachically called a Beis Shah because one and two walk through number three. And certainly four and five, where you have one, two, and three, and one, two, three, four walking through their Rishios. But number two only has one person passing through. One person passing through is not called a halachic Beis Shah. It's still called a private residence. And therefore, number two must contribute towards the Erev. So one contributes, two contributes. And then three, four, and five, they are just an extension of one and two. And therefore, they do not need to contribute. Let's say there are five exits. Can you imagine such luxury? You have this structure. Each one has their own door going to the street, so no one needs to walk through the other person's property. Or the other situation is, Rama says, they're all in one structure, but they're all, let's say, parallel to each other. No one has to walk through the other. They all walk out into a central hall, like an apartment, like a floor. Yeah, well, it's really one big room. It's not like an apartment, so it's one big room. And instead of them walking through each other, they all walk out in the other direction into a hallway. And that hallway, they go out into the street. So no one is passing through the other person. There's one Beis Shah for all of them. And all five individual sections do not interfere with the other. They do not walk through the other one's property. Then the rule, of course, is... So what is the rule is, there's one other condition that the Merchava makes clear, is that the walls must go all the way up to the ceiling. If the walls do not go all the way to the ceiling, it doesn't matter. It's considered to be one big tent, and one erev, one bread, loaf of bread is enough for the entire structure. In hamachitzos, magios latigra, if the walls reach the roof, the sokh shlosha tvachim, if it doesn't go all the way to the top, it's fine as long as it's less than three tvachim. Tohavi kolecha v'chedim ifnei atzos. So in this situation, if they are, each one has their own door to the street, or each one is independent, they only come and they meet in a central lobby, a central hallway, and each one of the walls, even though they're curtains, but the walls go all the way up to the roof, all the way up to the ceiling, it's, each one's considered to be a different room, and afilohem shel yurios, even if it's not material, it's not hard, it's not a real wall, it's made from cloth, it doesn't matter. In b'nei ha-chatzer noistim ha'er b'yachad mishra bot ha-chatzer, if the b'nei ha-chatzer, here we make another interesting condition, if the b'nei ha-chatzer noistim ha'er b'yachad mishra b'nei ha-chatzer, if the Erev is stored in a different structure, meaning we're in a situation where there are multiple homes in this courtyard, and everyone is contributing, and the Erev is not stored in this structure where five different families are living under one roof with different compartments, then each family must give their own loaf of bread in these last two scenarios where they have their own doors to the street or they all meet in one central lobby. They do not walk through the other. And of course, the roof, the walls go all the way to the ceiling. But here is a leniency. Let's say they happen to be the lucky structure in which the Erev is stored. All of the homes in this courtyard contribute bread and they store the bread in this structure, then ein tzrichim litein erev klal, unbelievable. They don't need to do anything, zero. They don't, because we learned that halacha originally, that the home in which the erev is stored does not need to give bread. The fact that the bread is of everyone else is here, that is enough. And since they're all one physical structure, they all come together, they're all under one roof, so they're all considered to be one, and they don't need to contribute. Ein tzrichim litein erev klal. Shekulam darim b'bayi zeh. They all live in this home. Ubayi shemichmo erev ein tzach litein erev. V'chein in ad halachim ein doyorin acherim b'chatzer. Let's say there's no one else. They are the only structure in the courtyard. And of course, same idea. Einam tzrichim erev. They don't need erev. Next halacha. But let's say just a slight variation. Let's say chilku b'mechitzo she'ein oigois l'tikra. The walls do not reach the ceiling; they're partitioned, like we have, different compartments. Even if the Erev is stored in a different structure, die be'eruv echa l'chol hechamesh chavurah. Stand one, being that the walls do not reach the ceiling, we consider them all to be one big happy family, and they only need to contribute one loaf of bread on half of all that. Hagah, imiksasan asu mechitas mitsasan loyosim asu. So simple, the ones that have mechitas, separate compartments, contribute. The ones that don't have the compartments, they're all considered one. Aysam sha'asu heim, sha'asu have walls, heim mechulakim, aysam sha'loyosu heim, and only need to give one loaf of bread. Let's say they live on different stories. Two family house under one roof, doesn't matter. One lives downstairs, one lives upstairs, one lives in the attic, and one lives in the basement. Okay, four stories, or even five stories, all under one owner, and there are different families living in different compartments of this structure. Then rule is, in that situation, when you live on different floors, even if the Erev is stored in this structure, under this roof, it doesn't matter. When you're on a different floor, this is a very interesting halacha concept. In halacha, it's much more significant to live on different levels than to live on the same level and broken up into different sections. That's what it comes out. When you're under one roof, and you're in different sections, if you meet in a central lobby, or even if you don't, even if you have your own door, if you're under one roof and it's owned by one person, you only have to give, and the Erev is stored in this compartment, you only have to give one Erev. But if this building is owned by one person, and all of these families are living on different floors, nope. Everyone has to give their own separate Erev.
I used to work in an old hell residence.
Yeah.
In my young days. And they had a residence, and you have three floors.
Correct.
Each have different residents.
Okay.
And each residence shares a room on the floor with somebody else. So you picture, you have five separate rooms.
Okay.
On the floor. And they all come out exactly as you said,
right,
central area to eat, to sit, okay, to relax, and then they go out to another door into the corridor hallway, and then from that they go to a second door out,
okay,
to the street. That's on each floor. And then the second floor, same structure, but then they have to come down a flight of stairs, obviously, from the second to get to the first floor, to go out to the central area. And then the third floor, same. So the Erev Chatzeros, so you're saying that each floor will have to make an Erev Chatzeros?
They will all have to come together. I mean, there are many layers.
The assumption is you're going to carry from floor to floor.
Yeah, definitely. They all have, yeah, definitely. But of course, yeah, that, you're probably dealing in that type of situation. I mean, in that situation with this Tisyat, they're all like.
Ironically, the Mordei Asra, the Israeli Kohen, Rav David Kohen. So I'm sure they consulted with him.
Yeah, but they're that type of that type of situation. I'm sure there's a real thesis. Yeah, the building is owned by one person, and the people there are all, they don't own it.
The OHEL owns it.
Right. So that's a thesis. Yeah, they're not even paying. I don't know the details, but in Achnami, technically, if they would all, they would need an Erev Chatzeros if they were semi-independent. If they were independent and they were paying, they were renting space, then yeah, absolutely.
Well, they get...
Okay, whatever, it's complicated. It depends. Absolutely, it depends on how independent they are. So here we have Vimo Yudiram Bevalias Mamish. I feel that's what we're coming out of the Chicken Gekul Chavur Lusayir of Aval Mish, Yeshloy Malamir Seif. Okay, here's one last halacha. Finish up. But if a person has a malamed, that's all in the situation. Everything we learned so far is all in the situation we'll read the Mishnah Berurah, but we'll clarify your point in the next Mishnah Berurah. But in a situation where you have borders, right? A borders, malamed is safe base. A person has a home and you give an apartment, the attic apartment or the basement apartment to a malamed. There's a teacher who lives here.
And does he teach the son?
No, not necessarily. He teaches in the community. He teaches not necessarily in the community. A malamed. I guess in time of the Shulchan Aruch, that was when the Rav Yosef.
The first thing that came to my mind, he's not paying rent in place of rent money.
Right,
he's
well, it's teaching.
The owner.
So that could be rent. That would be rent. That would make it independent. But he's a guest, and this, the way it appears, he's a pure guest. Okay, let's see what the Mishnah Berurah. Aval mi sheyesh lo malam yosef bebeiso v'chein talmidim halaimdim b'fnei haraf. See, in those days, the Rebbe, they would live with the Rebbe. The Rebbe would teach the students, so the students would come to live with the Rebbe. They would live in the basement. V'darim b'beiso kol echad b'chedroi, everyone in their own room. Afilu yesh l'chol echa pesach pasuch l'chatzer, the oichel v'yoshen b'chedro, and they eat and they sleep in their own chamber. Einam oishem. So this clarifies the halacha before. The halacha before is when they're only living together, not eating. They're all eating together. See, the halacha before, where it's going to be sufficient for each one to give their own one eruv for the entire structure when you meet certain conditions, that's because they're just living there. Eating, they all eat as a group together. All of these families, they eat in some communal dining hall. So then they're considered to be one group, and one eruv is enough, unless we have certain conditions where there are different floors, or you have walls and they have their own exits, and so on and so forth. But in a situation where you are a student, even when you eat independently, it doesn't matter. Then the assumption is you're fully dependent on the Baal HaBayis, and his contribution towards the Erev counts for you as well. It's a very fine line of breaking, but we'll see in Mishnah Berurah how he finesses this difference between the previous case and the case of a sofer and a malamid. Okay, let's see. The Mishnah Berurah says lamed beis. Okay, sifkan lamed beis. Tzricha kol chavur, but even kshein do yonachem bechatzer. That's lamed gimel. Avol mi sheyesh loy hatam. Why is the situation of having a student in your home different? The kaven shekulam mishtamshim b'shol bal habayis bi'afir u'bishul u'v'chol davar. Since the food that they get comes from the kitchen of the bal habayis. It's true, they may eat their meals in their own room, but where do they get the food from to eat? They go to the kitchen. Chashivi kulu ki'ilu oichlim v'yishenim b'mokoyim echad, period. V'yaf al p'yishyesh lem pesach letzad chotzer, even though they have their own exit, they don't have to go through the living room to get outside, they can go through their own basement exit. Doesn't matter. Nikroim al shem bal habayis. The ode, furthermore, the ein mashil lohem rishusoy le'osro lof. And that's a very interesting idea. The Baal HaBayis is not lending. I'm not lending you. A student comes, you can stay in the basement, but I'm not giving it to you that you should be a problem for me. I'm only letting you live in the basement for my benefit, not for my detriment. That now that you're here, oh, so now I have to make an eruv chatzeros. So now I didn't make an eruv chatzeros. Now I'm stuck. I can't carry from here to outside, and so on and so forth.
Would you consider the guest?
Yeah, that's not what it's saying.
So it's not even why you're even in it?
But it's not 100% a guest, because the guest eats with you. A guest is only there for a short time. Here, he's a boarder. He's a guest, but he's not a guest. He's independent. He has his own room. He has his own privacy. He eats alone. But on the other hand, he is a guest. He gets food from my refrigerator, so it's not here and not there. It's somewhere in the middle, and that's what the Mechaber is teaching us. And in this situation, when you're not here, you're not there, you're also considered in halacha a guest, and you do not need to contribute. The chol zeh b'shahoy yishol lohem only was lent to them. Avlum ha'yimokim ha'chadoyim konu y'muskulam, unless they're paying rent. Like, they have a lot of these apartments, they are girls who come to live from out of town. Very common, the girls, they come, they work here in New York. And they live in the attics or basements, whatever it is. They pay money. It's a source of income for many people. They have an apartment, they give it to them, but they become part of their family to a certain degree. They eat with them, they on Shabbos and so on and so forth. But they're paying money. They're paying rent. So they're paying rent for cold. So then it's already a different story. It's land, but rak shemishtamshim kol echav b'fnei atzma b'chedroi. Everything they do is independent. That means over here they do everything in the their own kitchen. Everything is, even though it's free rent. Oystrim, then in that situation they're independent, they have to go and contribute. The only time we have the combination of both conditions. Condition number one is that they eat. What are the two conditions? I'm getting confused. The two conditions
29. Says note 29.
Three conditions. Number one is they are partners in the food. All of the food comes from the central kitchen. Number two, the bayis, they have their own exit. And number three, the balabayis can throw them out whenever he wants. So that those conditions, then the rule is you're considered to be a guest. Forget about it. Then with the chogavnik and the sif base. Okay, so these are the general halachas of guests and different mechitzos. People have these are. It's a little bit confusing to me, all the details, but I think we got the basic gist of what is going on in these halachas. Okay, we'll pick it up tomorrow from Dalit. We'll stop.